Clay, why did you move back to Rhode Island last year from the Washington, D.C. area?
Well, Rhode Island is my home, and as I've talked with people over the last year or so and in depth over the last few months, so many people are not only out of a job, but are really worried about the future of Rhode Island. And I want to be a part of restoring our economy and restoring hope to the future of our state.
Now, as we know, you did form a political organization. You've hired one of the best-known Democratic fundraisers in the state. You lured back to Rhode Island as your campaign coordinator, a fellow who had a full-time job in Chicago. So it certainly looks like you're running for governor. What do you say?
Well, I'm encouraged by the people who've been helping me explore, and I will be making an announcement by the end of the month. I really believe that I bring a distinct set of experience, skills, and values that will help move the state forward.
And it sounds like you're certainly talking as if you're planning to run and as if you're leaning toward a run. Is that correct?
Well, I'm doing everything I can to prepare. I really believe that the state is at a crossroads, that so many people are out of work, and so many people really have lost faith in the future of the state and state government. And I want to be a part of rebuilding that trust, restoring that faith, and really rolling up my sleeves to do everything I can to make Rhode Island great again.
As we know, there are two Democratic candidates for governor right now, Providence Mayor Angel Taveras and State Treasurer Gina Raimondo. Do you expect that we'd see any significant policy differences between yourself and the two other Democratic gubernatorial candidates?
Well, I haven't announced a campaign. My focus really will be on talking with individuals now for the next couple of weeks, continuing to listen to people and the concerns they have and the ideas they have. I think that that's really something that I want to do moving into the future, that I really take into account concerns of all kinds of people, ordinary Rhode Islanders, and that we take the time in government, whatever your role in government, to listen to people. That is going to be a premise of what I think will be make good policy and a premise of how I want to carry myself in public life.
You are 32 years old compared to Raimondo, who is 42 years old, and Taveras is 43 years old. What do you say to people who question whether you have the experience to be governor?
Well, I bring a distinct set of experience from my time in the Coast Guard, from my time at the White House as Director for Strategic Planning, where I was part of a process and led a process to bring resources to important areas of opportunity and growth, to bring people from across government together to focus on the future. And, of course, at the Department of Education, where I led the country's international and language education programs and worked very hard to equip our students with the international language skills they need to compete in the global economy. So I believe I bring a distinct set of experience in moving the agenda forward, in building faith and confidence in government, and a set of values from my service with the Coast Guard and a belief that government, when done right, can make a real difference in people's lives. That experience, that set of values, and my belief in connecting with people, I think, is what will be critically important to moving the state forward.
You haven't run for public office before. Why shoot for such a high office as governor rather than running for the legislature or an office like lieutenant governor?
Well, I believe that Rhode Island is at a crossroads and that we have to inject a new level of energy into moving the state forward, to thinking creatively about the economy, and to thinking boldly about how we're going to equip our students with the skills they need. And I believe that we can't wait any longer. I want to take action now. And that the experience that I bring in moving people together and moving an agenda forward from the White House, I think will transfer very well to what I believe to be the central challenge facing the next governor, which is developing a strategic and comprehensive approach that leverages all elements of state government to move this state forward, not only into the next year, but 10 years down the road. That was effectively my job before in the White House, and I believe that that will be the key experience that we can leverage over the coming years.
You talk about Rhode Island being at a crossroads, and the state has been in a struggle for many decades to reinvent its economy. What do you think is holding Rhode Island back?
Well, I think there are a number of things that are holding Rhode Island back. Certainly one has been that for my entire adult life, there has been, I feel like we've had been having a conversation amongst ourselves as Rhode Islanders. If we're going to grow and to prosper as an economy and as a state, I believe we have to connect ourselves again to the rest of the region, to the country, and to the world. We can't be an isolated island. There are parts of the country and parts of the world that are growing very, very rapidly, and I think we have an opportunity to seize on those areas and to connect ourselves to them. That, I think, is a key opportunity for this state, and I believe I would be able to do that very effectively.
Flesh that out a bit more. In terms of the economy being the number one issue in Rhode Island, what are some of the tangible ways that if you do run, you would seek to create a better economy here?
Well, number one, the governor has to roll up his sleeves every single day to make sure every single department agency across state government is an engine of moving the state forward. Not just the Economic Development Corporation or Commerce Corporation, but every single entity. Making sure that we're seizing the opportunities that are sitting right before us, whether it's I-195 or the marine industry, the oceans, the infrastructure of the state, and the minds of our people. If we can continue to get the spark into students early on to innovate, that really is the most powerful thing that one can do. Making sure that students have the opportunity to be creative and to flourish. Making sure that they have the skills to go into a range of industries. Making sure that they have internship experiences to build practical work experience. And making sure that we aren't giving up on people who are out of work, adults who need vocational education and training. These are all things that we can do. These are things that are states around the country are leading in, and this is an area where I believe Rhode Island can lead to.
Should you run for governor, how much do you expect that you would need to raise to run a competitive primary race?
And I'll leave the prognostications to others, but I am committed to investing my time and energy and ideas, and certainly, of course, any resources that I have, to connecting with people, to talking about my ideas, and to making sure that people understand who I am, what I'm about, and my care for the people and future of this state. And that, I really do think, is what would carry the day, not any particular amount, but a commitment that, of course, Michelle and I would be totally personally invested in the future of our state.
And you do come from an affluent family. Do you imagine that you and your family would contribute significantly to your own campaign?
I imagine that we would contribute all of our time and energy and certainly resources to making sure that we really are connecting with people and that we have the chance to meet as many people as possible, because I really do think that is what makes the difference. People need to, we need to be listened to. I think that the key to good government and to good policymaking is taking the time to listen, taking the time to bring people together, often on their in their way, to hear their voices. And I think that that's what Rhode Island needs again now. A chance to really be listened to, and a chance to come to the table to focus on where we want to invest for the future. What are the opportunities as we look across our great state, from the ocean to the infrastructure to education? And what are our values? How are we going to bring seniors to the table to tap their wisdom? How are we going to bring students to the table to tap their enthusiasm and ideas? And bring all of these people into the conversation about what Rhode Island needs, so that the next year there would be a governor coming in with a plan, with a bold group of people, a coalition of Rhode Islanders from all across the spectrum who want to work together for the future.
Clay Pell, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thank you very much.